on DACA.
Oh.
Type shit.
Okay.
And DACA protects the children of immigrants.
Okay.
And maybe his DACA expired.
That's wild.
Because that happens too.
That's wild. Because okay. I actually knew a girl in college. Who I matched with. I said like I knew her, but we matched on Tinder. And I was like, I said that like I just knew her, but no, we matched on Tinder and she was on DACA.
She's not trying to get a green card out of you.
Nah, we matched on DACA and I was like, she didn't tell me this until
on DACA?
Well, we matched on Tinder. And I didn't know that she was on DACA until like maybe after the third or fourth time we were hanging out. And then she was like, yeah.
You mean the third or fourth time y'all fucked?
No comment. But after the third part,
we all know what Tinder is,
bro. I wasn't on there wilding, bro. I was a respectable young man, like my man Joe Huxley over here.
Exactly. Tell that lie to your mama, not to us,
bro. Every time I got on Tinder, I got on there with good intentions to meet somebody that was, you know, beneficial for my life.
Down for the cause.
True.
So, you want to speak on that, Joe Huxley? Have you ever got on Tinder?
Nah, I've never been on Tinder.
Never been on Tinder?
Actually, the only time I got on Tinder was like my sister, she was like, Joseph, I'm making a Tinder. And I'm like, bruh, you should not be on Tinder. And she's like, I'll make a friend on Tinder. And I'm like, bruh, Tinder is not for you. She made a Tinder. Got like 6 fucking dick pics and she was out. she was like, nah, bro.
Yo.
I was like, I told you.
No, literally. That's why I don't get on Tinder.
What? Yeah. Speaking of, how is Tinder from the female perspective, bro? I low key want to like, how is your Tinder experience?
I got on Tinder once, but I didn't match with anybody because I was swiping left, like, on everybody.
For sure.
Damn.
Because they weren't my flavor.
I see.
Weren't my favorite cups of tea. So I got on this new app called BLK.
BLJ? What is that?
BLK is the Black Tinder. See? So I was finding my flavors.
I see.
Now,
so you're a racist.
I haven't dabbled in dating, online dating, too much. Because I've been on Hinge, I've been on BLK, and I've been on Bumble.
What is it like online dating and like how is it different from real life and do you like it better?
I feel like with online dating it's just easier to ghost somebody.
Yeah.
Like if you like stop liking them, it's like, all right, I'm just gonna stop talking to you.
Type shit.
And it's not like you can do anything. Now what I liked was cause like, so disclaimer, we all went to the same college. University of Tennessee in Knoxville. And we know ain't no niggas there for real. Like, it's not nobody to really talk to there. So, and the niggas who are there are not my flavor, once again. And so...
Wait. Can we expand on that? Why weren't they not your flavor?
The niggas that you
Why'd you say it like that, Josh? Yeah. Not your flavor.
Because my flavor of man is not bitter.
Ooh. Mm. Ooh. Shots. Shots fired. Shots fired.
But also, they were just like, I say they weren't my flavor, but the reality is I wasn't theirs either. Like, I'm very cool. I'd rather wear sneakers than heels. Yeah. I put makeup on, but like, I'm not cake face. I'm not gonna bake all night for you. It's not what's happening. I don't have the European look with the hair.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? The nails is not super long.
Are you saying the niggas wanted white girls? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that too, but I'm also saying that the black girls they wanted had a Eurocentric look.
Ooh.
Mm.
And that is not me. I wear naturals, and you may see me without my face on. Okay? I may come to school dry. My fit's always going to be fine, but I'm not going to wear a mini skirt and heels to class. I'm going to wear
granny panties.
Some New Balances and these cool-ass baggy jeans. You may like my fit, but you're not going to like me.
Wait, why are we not going to like you? I thought you was cool.
I am cool, but I'm like homie cool. I'm not like, Oh, that's my shawty.
I see, for sure.
She's a soccer.
But I wouldn't be homies with none of them either. Because, like, they're not my flavor. Because, like, my homies are cool, like y'all.
Type shit.
Hey.
They were not like y'all. Y'all already know what I'm talking about. But for people who don't, the dudes at UT.
She said every single guy at UT.
Listen, they're not bad, okay? They're great picks. I just wasn't picking them. And they weren't picking me. And it was a mutual understanding, and I'm okay with it.
For sure, for sure. Hey,
I like that. Now, back to your online dating. Like, how does that work for you? And how do you... You said you like to ghost niggas, and...
I like to ghost.
I'm a ghoster. I'm gonna be gone in seconds.
Damn, you be really ghosting niggas?
That's crazy.
Yes.
Damn.
I don't talk to anybody I've ever talked to on a dating app.
So no accountability whatsoever. No accountability whatsoever.
You know, accountability has always
been. Oh my gosh.
I hate that shit.
Stream Solace. That shit.
Right.
Based
on the interview. Right. No, but I mean, like, dating online is just a lot easier. But it's also hard. Like, it has its complexities or whatever. But I like dating online because I get a gist of who you are from your profile.
Mm.
So when I, like, initiate conversation, I kind of have something to go off of. And how you'll respond to my initiation is, like, going to tell me if I want to keep talking to you.
Okay.
If we're in the club and I meet you in person, all I get is what I see. So if you're a jackass, I'm not going to find out until drink four and the third topic of conversation where I'm just like, okay, nigga, this is not going to work. But when you at a club, I can't just walk away from you.
Facts. I didn't even think about that.
I got to look at you all night.
I didn't even think about that. So that's why it's more easier to ghost, because it's like if somebody's giving you those weird vibes, it's like, yeah, I'm done with this.
Done with it. And for women, it's another form of, like, protection too, because like okay, I'm saying this because, you know, we're young and we all go to clubs, but when you meet somebody at a club, it's like they have the potential of following you to your car if you say no, and then, you know, they could do anything to you. But if you're online and you only strictly talk online, like you don't meet up with them, you have more control as a woman to be like, okay, yeah, I'm cool with you. Let's meet up. Or like, nah, nigga, I'm straight.
So it's really a form of protection, self-protection on your behalf.
Yeah, okay, for sure.
I see. Because at first I was looking at it just like emotionally from the sense of like, damn, like if I got ghosted and I didn't get any explanation, it's just like, can I at least get an explanation? But I see what you mean. If you give somebody an explanation, they might not feel like it's a justified explanation. It might go crazy on you. And then you don't want to go in that, like, I see.
And why I'm ghosting you is completely my opinion of you. It doesn't mean, like, you should change or everybody sees you this way. It just means our personalities don't click. Yeah. And I don't necessarily have to tell you why. I just know it doesn't click. So let's not waste our time. Honestly, too, and everybody's like, well, you could get catfished easier that way. I'm not a dumb bitch, okay?
For sure.
Like, I am not a dumb bitch. I'm not going to just be trying to meet up with you and we ain't never FaceTimed. Because, like, everybody can video chat.
True.
Your excuse to video chat is because you're a catfish. Yeah. To not video chat is because you're a catfish. And once you say you can't video chat or you can't talk to me on the phone, then let's stop talking. Because why you don't have a video camera? Why you don't have a phone with a camera?
And what if that nigga broke?
You don't need to be talking to me. Damn. You need to get your life together. What the fuck are you gonna be okay?
Hold on. Facts. But at the same time, let's talk about the fact that, like, I wanted to talk about this. Like, a guy can be like, find a girl who broke his shit and don't have her shit together, and like, it's accepted in society for them to be like, all right, I can like look after this girl and like get her like to like my like level and shit. But if a nigga is broke as fuck, like a girl is not gonna look over like that nigga. Like fuck that nigga's hard shit. I feel like that's the general vibe. And I wonder, like, I wonder your thoughts on that.
No, it's just like I feel like girls aren't gonna just be like that with any broke nigga. Like you, if you're gonna be a broke nigga and try and talk to me, you have to have something else going for you. Like you have to have something else. Like you have to either be really motivated. Your style gotta be like impeccable or something. You know what I mean? Like you just have to have something else going for you. If you're
you can be broke and have good dick.
Yeah, exactly. If you're broke and have good dick, then like you're okay. A girl is gonna take care of you. But if you're broke, you have a shrimp. You like you just don't. You ain't even trying to look for a job, but you got 2K and a new 2K, nigga.
Nah, that shit right. Like yo,
damn, do niggas with shrimp dicks like not have good? Like, can a nigga with shrimp dick have good sex? Like, is that not a thing that happens exists?
Actually, yes.
So I was like, why you gotta do the shrimp dick niggas out there like that?
They can, but it's only so good. It's only gonna be so good. Again, the head game probably is fire.
Damn, for sure.
Yo, that sounds like my one of my friends. He has a micro penis, but he
don't say his name.
I'm not gonna say his name.
Nigga said one of my friends.
He got exposed. He actually got exposed as a catfish.
Damn.
Like he sent
a big dick pics.
Yeah, he sent a dick pic. So he like he had a catfish of this football player who had like a crazy tattoo, and he had like a bull tattoo and all this shit. And I was like, oh fuck! And I was asking him for workout tips, and I was like, yo, how do you get your body like that, bro? Like, I need tips. So we was on. It was like around when Kick was popping. Like Kick was like crazy at the time.
Shout out to Kick.
So we're all on Kick, and we would just invite girls into the Kick group chat and just try to finesse. So,
but you don't got styles.
I don't, bro. That was in the past, bro. I changed my ways because I felt like I was too toxic. I was too toxic in that time period, so I had to move forward.
For sure.
But. One of the girls, he sent his actual dick to the girl instead of the catfish dick.
Bro, so catfish he had this light skinned ass dick. The term catfish dick is crazy. Continue.
So his catfish was light skinned, but he sent a dark skinned ass dick to this girl. So she sent his dick into the group chat, exposing this man.
Shrimp?
Yeah.
That's even worse.
So he got exposed, and I'm like, dang, I hit him up. I was like, hey.
She said it in the group chat.
Yeah, in the group chat. Team. Yeah, she was like, I knew he was a catfish.
Damn.
Oh, God.
Damn, in front of the homies.
My first online relationship was through Kick.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that? Mm-hmm.
That's when I realized I like talking to niggas online way more than in person.
Type shit.
I had a Kick relationship.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't it so like magical? Like it felt so real.
True.
I was enamored by it.
I was writing fucking erotica in that bitch. I was going hard, bro.
Oh my god. There was this one guy in this Kick, I guess, you know, like group chats or whatever. And he messaged me one day, right? And he sent this erotic ass poet message thing that he was gonna do to me or whatever. Uh-huh. Okay, cool. All right, cool. So, like I said, I'm a ghoster. So I go ghost.
Damn, I would have been sick as hell.
No, but like, and I entertained it for like literally that night and then I went ghost. So,
like I had my fun.
He messaged me. Like months later, why does nigga send me the same exact message?
He's like, it worked last time.
on top of that, he thought I was like a new girl. So I'm like, you trifling.
True.
That's why you got ghosted the first time.
Oh, God. Oh, God. He didn't even do it right. You're not supposed to go straight into the erotic poetry, bro. You
like, hey, also, let me suck your nipples. What? My name is Joy. Nice to meet you.
Damn.
My favorite color is lavender, sometimes purple. What's yours?
She said, I got to get a... Did they ever send you? You got to get before you can hop into the erotic poetry?
I mean, damn, give me at least a conversation.
Conversation, for sure.
Build into for sure, it. For sure. Like...
I apologize for all anthologies about assumed answers I authored. Accountability has always been a problem for me. Awakening an angry you isn't what I intended to do, so I began weeping too. I blamed you for our locked lips and tough tongues tired from talk. I apologize that our attempts to repair attitudes never saw through, and this is my apology to you. I'm through with this reoccurring truth of we and not you. The moment I adjunct profess love to you, a grand gesture that was too much, yet not enough. Closure is difficult between two armies of one who difficultly battle communication and appreciation, ending with two towels thrown, white rags covering skies. We're both high and tired of overdosing on thin lines of love and hate. It's worn out my mind. And while recovering, I was wondering why I felt I wasn't enough. After rolling a drug, then hitting it once, puff. I wasn't enough because I was enough for words I never heard from your lips. Love language barriers are unforeseen, unintended, and unobtainable, which means my language of love is not meant to be understood by you, and yours was foreign to me. Hear what I'm saying to you, my last lip lock of rough talk. Reassurance and recognition would have eased our mission.
Okay. So for my young niggas out there, bro, have a conversation, and if you on that online texting shit, if you have a game, this is what I used to do. I had this game where it was like a screenshot of a game and had all these questions you can ask, and the questions got more erotic. Huh?
You was playing 21 questions, basically.
No. It was kind of like 21 questions. But it was like a picture of like 42 questions and went from like, oh, like, what's your favorite color? All the way to ask me anything you want. And it was a number. And you'd be like, all right, pick a number.
Ah, okay.
And you just go back and forth picking numbers.
And but if you pick a number, you already know the question.
Right. And you're supposed to send that. You'd be like, all right, I'm going to pick this number. And they'll be like, all right, it's like, have you ever had a threesome?
Oh, so I pick number two, you would answer number two.
Yeah. Okay, cool. There was like, how big is your dick? How big, what's your bra size and all that shit?
Why are the questions always like that?
Yeah, like.
Not, but it was like, there's like innocent ones and then there's erotic ones inside those.
Mix and match.
And okay, so fellas, if you play this game and she only picks the innocent ones, she's just not that into you.
Ooh, let them know. That's a game that I had to learn, but that is facts.
Yeah,
that is
like,
facts.
If you didn't gone about four rounds, give it five.
Give it five.
If you get to the fifth round, and her sixth one,
five's the
her
freaky
sixth
number.
Question is not nasty, she don't like you. Sure. And no question after number five is going to be freaky. So, you know, cut your losses. Tell her have a good night. Sweet dreams. Yeah. We'll try again tomorrow.
Do you believe that guys and what was I gonna ask? Do you believe that guys and girls can be friends based off that last question?
Yes.
Break that down for us.
I believe it. So I believe that guys and girls can be friends, but I think because when we think about relationships, marriage, you want to marry your best friend, right? So guys and girls can be friends, but they can't be besties.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's fine.
We could be cool. We could be cordial. We could kick it in group settings, but we can't be like best friends who start like, oh, I'm laying on your shoulder and I'm leaning on you. And now we all like the signals get real mixed up.
True.
So, and on both ends, like, I can't even say it's mainly girls sending mixed signals or mainly guys sending mixed signals, like, on both ends. Because at any point in a, like, best friendship with a girl and a guy, one of them can catch feelings. And because y'all relationship is so close and you're so, like, connected in this real way, you're not gonna, like, just be like, okay, you don't like me, so we could still be friends.
Type shit.
So, but I do think guys and girls can be friends, even if you do have an attraction to somebody. Because, like, at the end of the day, you're more attracted to their spirit. Yeah. So, like, if you don't want to lose that relationship that you have, that friendship that you have, you're not going to cross that boundary, even though you may think about it. I think men have a harder time with that. Okay. Like, because I was listening to Steve Harvey, that caterpillar lip nigga was like,
God damn.
You can't.
Steve Harvey catching strays?
Well, listen, he was like, I don't have no woman friends because when a woman befriends with a man, that man is your friend up until there's an opportunity that presents itself to be more than friends. And I was like, nigga, you right.
I say.
But if I say no, it's no. And if you still want me in your life, you're going to have to learn how to be my friend. And if you can't do that, we ain't friends. But I think men and women can be friends. It's just, you got to work on that relationship like you have to work on any relationship.
The reason why I asked is because I was watching this Abba and Preach video. Shout out Abba and Preach. But I was watching a video and Abba, and excuse me if I misquote him, but he's essentially saying that he can't, he thinks that people use the friend word too loosely. Like, people be too, like, quick to call somebody your friend when they just know them for, like, they cross them and they, like, they're basically an acquaintance type shit. And they don't have that, like, he's like, he reserves his, like, close relationships for his, like his real intimate close relationships where he can, like, be open and be himself to his male friends only, because whenever he tries to, like, you know, be open to, like, his female friends, it's not on that same level of, like, I can truly be myself around you. So I was just curious what your opinion on that was.
I really think it works if, like, well, from a JoJo girl's perspective.
Too, oh, no, sorry. You good. I'm saying, like, you can go ahead, but I want JoJo to speak on it too.
Okay. Just from a girl's perspective, like, I can just use this example because we all know the dynamic and we're all cool. But, like, when I would hang out with, like, y'all, like, when we were in college or whatever, I'd usually be the only girl.
She's the soccer of the group.
Yeah. No. I fight.
But Sakura fight though. Sakura go hard.
She took out
a couple minutes.
She's strong as hell.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm going off the memes, and the memes talk about she don't fight. So don't come over.
She kinda ass compared to Naruto.
I'm just a soccer bitch. That's not what this is. I'm Sakura when she fighting.
For sure,
okay.
For sure.
Is that a better
idea? Yeah, you got it.
But also, even I can't be Sakura because she was in love with Sasuke and Naruto was in love with her. So, like, that really don't even Can't even touch it.
You can be Inazuma. You Eno, I guess, then.
No, you're not Inazuma.
Nah, she Eno, bro.
Definitely not Inazuma.
There wasn't a, yeah, there wasn't a love triangle in that.
I'm Brahani.
For sure. For sure.
Oh, God.
Sure. No, but I was the only girl in the group for a while. So I never had a problem, like, being myself or just, like, saying shit I would never say in any other setting. Yeah. Like, I feel like y'all get a raw side of me that a lot of people don't get, and it's because y'all are my male friends. And I also feel like y'all will try to, like, be, you know, politically correct or whatever when I'm around. But eventually what you're really feeling comes
out.
And I, like, yeah, like, eventually y'all are going to be y'all. And I never was just like, I mean, of course I talk my shit, but, like, we all talking our shit. So, like, like, I just felt like in those moments, when you're the only girl, you can be raw and open, and then guys can probably feel more raw and open when it's only one girl, as opposed to, like, when it was me and Emily, it was, like, me and Emily, and then y'all.
Why do you think that, like, adding two girls changes that dynamic so much? That's because that's a very interesting, like, thing that happens socially.
You asking me?
Yeah, I mean, because this nigga JoJo not saying shit.
I'm just listening, bro. I'm just listening, waiting for my turn. I'm thinking about this shit, bro. I gotta think before I
for
speak.
Sure. You got it, Tim.
Okay,
you got it.
Well, you know, whenever you're ready, just jump in. What was the question? Sure.
I was saying, why do you think the dynamic of, like, friendships and stuff change when there's two girls, like, versus compared? Because you're saying when it's one, you just, like, one of the niggas. But, like, when it's another girl added into it, it changes it, because it's, like, now it's me and Emily, or me and this other girl versus, like, the group. Not versus, but, you know.
I think it changes because now if one of y'all say something out of pocket, it's two of us. You get what I'm saying? So now we're both going to come at it. And then, you know, when girls start arguing at a certain point, it turns from, like, a conversation to now y'all just nagging and y'all just bitching. And it's like, okay, now we just sit up here bitching. And when it's just one girl, she's going to bitch for a little bit, but then it'll be I get where you're coming from. When it's two girls, you can't, like, as women, we have to stick together. No. So we cannot let the patriarchy bring us down.
Okay.
We can't see the patriarchy's perspective because we have our own perspective. Right. And that becomes more like,
you was talking like you was talking for every single woman in the world right now. She's like, we have our own perspective.
I'm totally not. But I'm just saying, like, if it's me and another girl, we have an understanding as women that we see the world differently from the boys. And it's hard for boys to see our perspective, even though it's easier to see it from y'all's perspective. So we fight harder to get our views across. And then also, sometimes women already feel like you're not being heard. So we get louder. You know what I mean? And, like, also too, girls are a little clicky. And, like, okay, I'm not saying all
girls. Cancel her. Just, she's saying all girls.
Right. Cause, like, I know women are going to be like, she's so wrong, but it's like, I'm so right. But it's like,
God
damn.
Like, women can be clicky. Yeah. So, like, when it's only two of us in a room, we gonna click up. Because it's only two of us here. Just like if it's a sea of white women and there's three black women, we gonna click up. Because there's only three of us in this bitch.
That's true.
If it's a sea of black women and it's only two white women, they gonna click up. Because there's only two of them in that bitch.
That's just biology type shit.
Right. Like, that's just fact. Like, that's just fact. We do that in our everyday lives.
I'm waiting,
like,
for the one. Well, actually, when you look at biological breakdown, it's actually not that, because you have to look at how different races and different genders interact on a macro level.
Fuck that shit. Not on a macro people just connect with the people that look like them or perceive to have the same traits as them. So that's just what happens, you know?
Or they see the world in the same lens. Like,
exactly.
That's it.
Beautiful walls. Sun's guys. Paradise. Where you wanna be?
Tell me, hey, where do you wanna go? I know you could use a vacay. Baby, let's hit the
things I can show you. I know you've been having a hell of a week, and you just grateful that it's over. And I just wanna hold you. I protect you like a soldier. I went to the store and got that Moscato you like, cause you looking too sober. Where do you wanna go? We can fly, take a trip to the Northern Lights, baby, you be my guest, right? Or we can take it out to Dubai and just live our best lives. Just let me know. Pack up the bags and get the gas, and then we can roll. We can take it to the west, we can take it to the bay, ay, ay, ay. We can take a trip back to the motherland and escape, ay, ay, ay. We can make it happen now, or baby, we can even wait, ay, ay, ay. So what do you say, ay?
Tell me, ay, tell me, ay, where do you wanna go? I know you could use a vacay. Baby, let's hit the road. To fly to the west side, baby, just take my hand. Oh,
baby girl, let me kick some flavor. You say you need to get away, let me do you the favor. Can't see a hater, dog shades, cash, dog Vader. A real player, I'll update and upgrade you. A true player from Himalaya. If she don't wanna go, then I won't make her. Better hide your hoe, cause I'm a slayer. One hand on the throat, like Undertaker. Baby girl, I know you need a vacay. You and me, yeah, we can get away, hey. Pick a place and we can leave today, hey. And we can stay, hey.
Tell me, hey, where do you wanna go? Baby, just take my hand. Oh, oh,
oh. And that's why when girls get together, or two girls in an all-boy setting get together, they click up. And then, also, it gives girls an opportunity to be a girl. Like, I'm cool being a nigga, like, being awesome, whatever. But, like, I can only do that for so long. When Emily would come around, I'd be like, oh my god, nails, shopping, clothes. Yes!
Is that...
Y'all don't do that with
me. How much of a necessity is that to your, like, overall identity to have that?
I said,
how much of a necessity is your femininity to your overall identity?
Oh, it's not. It's not a necessity at all. It's a benefit. It's a bonus. But I don't...
You don't have to be that type of time.
And y'all can tell me, like, I'm...
I said you don't have to be on that type of time?
Yeah, like, I've never needed another girl to feel feminine.
Well, I'm not saying need another girl, but, like, your personal femininity, like, whenever you're on, you're, like, I guess, not, like, nigga shit, and you're just, like, shopping nails or whatever, like, how much do you need that side of yourself, do you think? Like, that's my question, yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, I think I need that side of myself all the time because I'm just into that. Yeah. Like, that's just what I'm into. And I'm not saying all women are into that. I'm just saying that's what I'm into. So when I find someone else who typically is a woman who's into that, it gives me a chance to express that. But as far as femininity goes, I feel like personally that when I'm the only girl in a group, I feel the most feminine because I'm like the nigga of the group, but everybody is still like, oh, but in a girl's perspective, yeah. but for girls, like I'm being constantly acknowledged that I'm the only girl in the right. room. So I feel like, yes,
yes.
I'm here to answer all your questions. But I'm also like, you know, my nigga, like, shit, we just be chilling and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's both. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, I just be feeling like, yeah. I'm the only girl in the, when I'm the only girl in the group, and y'all can contest to this, you could say wilder shit.
Facts.
What you mean?
Because.
What you mean by that?
Like, when it's just me and I say, oh, I watched a pegging video. Like, you could say wild shit like that.
What's pegging?
Bruh, nah, I'm not gonna let you slide, JoJo. I'm not gonna let you slide, bruh. Like, you don't know what pegging is, nigga. No, nigga.
Wait, like, for real, what's pegging?
All right, bruh.
It's when... Oh, wait, do you want me to explain it?
Yeah, I'm gonna let you break it down for MC since we've heard right now.
Okay. Pegging is when your girl strap on her thing. Saying you strap it on.
Okay.
And she proceeds to give you anal.
That's crazy. I wouldn't do that shit. But, like, if that's her fetish, I wouldn't take it up my ass. I don't know what I would do with it. If she had to use the strap on, she was like, hey, babe. In order for me to feel pleasure, I need you to suck my strap. I don't know what I would do in that moment.
Would she get pleasure from you sucking her strap?
I don't know. It could just be like a power move.
True. Exactly. True.
But if it's a girl I actually love and like really
I hate that I explained that because then it makes me look like I'm the guy that does that. I'm like, bro, I hate that I explained that, bro.
There's nothing wrong with pegging.
Nah,
I wouldn't do that shit, bro. Getting fucked in the ass with a dildo. That shit would make me feel more traumatized than I'm already.
Hey,
but
and I'm gonna continue to like make myself look sus as fuck. But you know that the male G spot is in the anus type shit.
Anal, yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather get a finger up the ass than get a dildo up the ass. Like a dildo's pretty big, bro. Imagine your dick going up your ass, bro.
Yeah, bro. Nah,
that's not it, bro. Huh? No, she don't. She just gotta like. It's kind of like fingering.
You can't just do that. It's not a thing.
I can't. Nah, it's like a come hither. Like you take two fingers and come hither, goddamn.
Come hither.
Come hither. Come hither.
Oh fucking! Come hither.
Nah, you're not even doing it right.
Come hither.
Have you ever?
You said two fingers and come here.
That's how I know.
No, you come hither like. No, you come hither like I wish I had my picture. I wish I had my video, but
why
it's
do you
like
have
a
video.
It's like a caress.
Why do you have a video. No. Let's address why you have
I mean
a video.
My video for this, bro. I mean my video for this.
Oh, I see. For the podcast, I see.
It's like a come hither, like, hey, come here, like a sexy come hither. You're like, yeah, that's better. There you go. That's what you gotta do, bruh. And then all you gotta do if you wanted to eat some pussy, you just do that shit and you just lick the clit, bro. Or suck it. You suck it. It's like a dick. You suck the clit while you do that shit.
Oh, wait. What?
Yo.
Are we still
the same? Yeah, it's in the ass. You can do that with the ass and you can do that with the G spot, because that's how you do the G spot when you finger a girl.
After she take her fingers out, you gonna lick them?
Fuck no.
Speaking of ass, let's talk. I was like, I gotta transition this conversation, bro. I'm trying to get my sponsors, bro.
Oh
gotta get sponsored.
Speaking of ass, how do y'all feel about the Roddy Ricch album?
Shit, I never
had. Don't do my boy like that.
Is it ass?
It's not ass. It's not ass. But it's a lot of people have been saying it's a mid album compared to his first album.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was his album where he was trying to like be more on the billboards and be more like what the sound is today.
Yeah.
It just wasn't. It was not a normal Roddy project for me as a fan who's been here for a minute.
Tasha, talk your shit.
Like, it just wasn't. It wasn't what I prefer. Now there may be one or two gems on the bitch, but it wasn't just like. It definitely wasn't. It wasn't what it could have been.
What do you think? What do you think? Because a lot of people talk about the sophomore slump and like the second album being kind of like that, like not the. You know, not the as hitting as the first one, because you have your, you know how people be saying you have your whole life to make your first album and shit, and and then you only have a certain couple of years to make your second. So I was like, what do you think lended to him, like just like not delivering like he done on the first one? Do you think whenever, because I was talking to Chris about this, do you think once you get success, it's just like hard to maintain that like hunger to make good music, or is it just like case to case?
He got too much money.
Yeah.
When you get a lot of money, and people will probably disagree with me when I say this, because I feel like it happened to Young Thug too, but like, when you get a lot of money, you don't have to make quality music, because now you're feeling like you're relaxed on your name. You're relaxed on what you have produced already. So like, everybody went and streamed this second project because of the first one. Do you get what I'm saying?
True.
So he still got paid off those streams. We all had to listen.
So I see what you're saying. Like the first project, you working so hard because you don't already have that establishment. So every, like, that's why it hits so hard, because you have to like get people's attention. But now that you have people's attention the second time, it's like, I already got y'all attention. Y'all gonna listen anyway.
Already got y'all attention. And so like, but, and then everybody says like, I think this is his second album, right? So there's, you gotta account for the sophomore slump, because when you get your third one, when you hit junior, it's like, okay, now you have something to like surpass. Like, you have something to grow from. Because the third one is really what matters. The first one, fine, gets you on the map. The second one, we already know, we're expecting you to fall off. That third one, if it's not a hit,
it's over.
Like, it's time to quit.
That's interesting to play the game like that. I never thought about it like that. I would, if that's the case, I would intentionally fail on my second one.
I wouldn't. I would actually try and do really good on my second one. So that way they'd be like, damn, she's different. And then my third one would be something that I truly love. Like, it's 100% authentic to me. I'm not trying to like get fans, because at this point, if I produce two good albums that like y'all fuck with, that's building loyalty. So my third one, when I say like, this is me, you're gonna listen like, okay, this is really who she is, you know what I mean?
True. Why but not like
music, so that's not gonna happen.
So why bro, not like coming soon? Because I for real. Cause I agree with the sentiment that like my first and second project, I would be like, all right, I gotta go hard on this and do what I love. And wouldn't Roddy Ricch, couldn't the project that he did right now is shit that he loves to do? And it's not really like, oh, he's trying to do and like fit on the Billboard charts, and it's more like, hey, this is the music that I like right now, and this is the music that I'm gonna make.
I would say yes. And the only reason I don't feel like that's the case is because if you listen to Feed the Streets 1 or 2, I feel like that's shit that he was really trying to do. And I feel like when we got Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial, that was authentically him. Like, that was him. And for me, Feed the Streets 1 and Feed the Streets 2 was like, okay, this is to build my fans, and then this is me. And then we got this second one, Live Life Fast.
Yeah. Which I didn't get the it was very interesting because he was talking about it in interviews, and he was talking about how the title of the album is Live Life Fast, but the entire theme and point of the album is to not live life fast. So fast. I was like,
yeah,
that's kind of contradictory. And I wasn't getting it was like a dissonance for me. And so whenever I listened to the album too, if he was talking on the album about taking shit slow and like, you know, that type of like vibe, then I would see how that could like mesh and like the matrimony and like the theme and the title. But on the album, he talking about like regular like trap shit. Like,
wait. So like, there's a similar thing with Travi that I noticed. Travi talks about like living life fast, like all the regular shit. However, with Travi
is in Travis Scott or.
Yeah, Travis Scott. But however, from listening to how he talks about it, there's a lot of pain within the living a fast life and like doing those shits. And there's a lot of pain in the story that he tells from what I get from Travi. But and I think that showing the life of living life fast can also show the pain from it and why you shouldn't live it. But you have to go through it in order to know it. Yeah. Kind of like Cody and Crazy. Like going Cody and Crazy, you know?
Like that, and that's That's a valid point. Now, I'm going to read y'all what it says on Apple Music. Because this is why I say he was kind of laxed.
Okay.
Like, yeah, go ahead. So he put, and it's the last paragraph of this, it's not the whole thing. He said, it's almost as if the way the music would be received wasn't even a concern. I feel like people think why he don't put out a lot of music or why he don't deal with a lot of artists. He says, but it's like when I do that song with NLE Choppa and they go 3 times platinum, or when I do that song with 42 Doug and it goes platinum, I could really pop the shit that niggas can't pop. Cause it's like some niggas is just doing songs, getting lucky. I'm shooting my shot knowing I'm a hit.
Ah, I see. I see.
So he was like, walking with that energy. This wasn't really.
He was walking with that energy with this project. I see. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was like, he made too much money too fast. Because if he didn't go platinum, like, or if his first project didn't do what it did, he wouldn't be able to sit on his laurels. Like, he wouldn't be able to do that. He would have to keep
running.
Yeah,
he'd have that hunger still.
Yeah, he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't already be top chart. Like, Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial went far. Yeah.
No, the Box, like, was breaking, like, pop record, like, numbers, bro. Like, he was beating Justin, Justin Bieber and, what's her name? Selena?
Yeah. Selena Gomez.
And it's like, too, on the pop charts, he was, like, thriving, but also in the streets, like, niggas was fucking with all those songs, like real niggas was listening to War Baby and crying type shit. Like, like, this shit was really, it was a hit from beginning to end. So when you produce something like that and it goes as far as it does, when you hit your second one, you aren't as motivated because you already did. You really have set the bar too high for yourself.
It's like Lil Nas X trying to outdo Old Town Road type shit.
Yeah. And that's why he be doing all this crazy shit.
But then in that case, what about Kendrick? Because his Good Kid, M.A.A. City, like, that shit went fucking crazy when it first dropped. Niggas was like, Kendrick is the next rap savior. He's the next rap Jesus. And then his sophomore was arguably, to some people, even better. So I was like, what is that? Like, what's the difference in, like, those type of artists? Like, what do you think?
I think it was a sound. Like, Kendrick went to a, even though Good Kid, M.A.A. City was that sound, he went to a whole different sound.
Mm-hmm. I would say
he went to a whole different sound. He evolved. He evolved to something else. He went to something else. And I think that artists that do that are the artists that really, really have a lot of staying power. Like Kanye. Kanye. Yeah. He went to a whole different sound, bro. Yeah. There's this artist that one of my friends, like, she put me on, and it's her favorite artist, and he goes to a different sound every time.
Who is it?
I don't know who it is, but he's like a Rocky artist, like a Rocky, yeah. Like a Rocky artist. But he goes to a different sound every time.
Oh, I agree. I think I was going to say the same thing, that Kendrick finds a way to reinvent himself.
So essentially, go ahead.
Like, I was just going to say, like, he found a way to give us something different, because Good Kid, M.A.A. City and To Pimp a Butterfly, although it's the same people, it's different sounds. To Pimp a Butterfly was way more jazzy. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was way more like an ode to the past. So with that, you just kind of have to respect that he gave you something that you weren't expecting at
all. Facts.
Yeah.
When you're a fan of Kendrick, like, you're a fan of his artistry, not necessarily of
like one particular style.
The numbers. What his numbers are doing. You like what he's saying, how he's saying it, how he presented it to you, how he laid it out for you. The story he's giving you, the visuals that you see, you're really going off, like, all these different components, as opposed to Roddy is not necessarily that type of artist. Roddy is going to give you something you can feel for sure, but it's also going to be something you can vibe to. You know what I mean?
Consistently. True.
And then Kendrick, like, is older.
Facts.
I have to take that into consideration, Facts. Too, because Kendrick popped off way later in life.
So he had enough time.
So he takes it, like, it's more of like a pearl to him, because he don't want to just fall off in the next year. He want to keep this momentum going. Like, if Roddy fell off tomorrow, was he, like, 22? Yeah. He could take a four-year break and come back and be on Kendrick's, like, age Type level shit. And True. Mindset Type level. Shit. He has time, basically, is what I'm saying. Like he didn't have to put out a project this quick if he didn't want to. Like, True. The turnaround don't have to be that quick for him. And I think Kendrick understands that. So he also takes time to develop what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to give you Good Kid, Mad City 2. He's going to give you To Pimp a Butterfly. And then he's going to give you Damn. Because Damn.
So like, so what I'm the game that I'm picking up from this conversation is, to avoid your sophomore slump, you essentially just got to come with a whole new sound. Like, you can't do what you did last time. Is that what y'all?
Well, you just got to take your time, to be honest. There's I mean, I'm trying to think real quick.
Because I think Cardi did that. Like, whenever he left with Die Lit, he came back with Whole Lotta Red, which is a whole new sound. And, like, people are fucking with Whole Lotta Red. Like, at first, people weren't fucking with it. But now it's like, niggas are fucking with Whole Lotta Red. I've seen it change. And as somebody who liked Whole Lotta Red.
He took time to develop that, though, too. Because how long did y'all wait for that?
Two years? Was it 2021 or 2023? 2020. It was 2020. So 2 years.
It was last year. It was last year.
It was 2020.
So yeah, it was 2 years.
So like, then, it just shows that it takes time. Like, I think about Janae. Janae, it takes almost 3 years for us to get a project, bro. Like, and every time she comes, she come with it. And to kind of dispute your point, she doesn't necessarily reinvent her music. I feel like she has a consistency throughout her career, but she brings you with something new to talk about.
She takes her time with her shit.
Yeah, like, if you really were tapped into Janae, then you know that Chilombo was a spiritual experience. Like, each song and each chords that she chose to go with, they, like, ring a different part of your chakra. Yeah. Like, a lot of people don't know
she
that.
Said if you was really, like, tapped in.
Yeah, if you already know what me and Janae are doing. You already know. That's my dog. We down for the cause.
She's fire, though.
She's so fire. Somebody told me she was glorified elevator music, and I literally want to punch them in their throat.
Damn.
Mind you, I had just did a poem for them, so I was really like, take my shit off.
Elevator music is fire, though.
Her music is so good. But it's not like she just drastically changes her sound like Kendrick does. Like, that's not what happens.
Right.
But she gives you something new to connect with, and she gives you something that is a piece of her every time she creates a project. Like, you can tell she's grown from Trip to Chilombo.
And I see, because whenever you grow as a person, it's a natural thing to grow as an artist. So, like, each time piece and time period in your life is going to document, and, like, whenever you document that through music, it's going to be different just because you're experiencing different things, per se.
Exactly.
And with Roddy's project, we didn't get that. Like, I don't see no growth.
maybe he regressed.
Dang, you think he regressed?
Maybe he's just going through. What's up? I was about to say, like, maybe he's just, that's what he's going through right now. Like, living fast. He's been living fast because he got big. As like what she was saying earlier, he blew up too fast, and that shit kind of, that was making him go too fast. And now,
Dang, that's crazy, because, like, that just gave me a new perspective of, like, music is just a direct reflection of, like, your, like, time in your life. So if you are, like, if the reason why we're not feeling it is because you are going through, like, what you've been going through, then, like, how do you break out of that and, like, get to a point? Do you just, like you said, wait until you, like, can make a better songs, I guess? I don't know. Like, I don't know how to ask that question, but it's
by exploring, like,
whenever I get an artistic slump and I'm like, fuck, I've been making the same shit, I just explore, bro. I explore, like, for example, like as you know, I be going to Barnes & Nobles every fucking day and researching and shit.
He really do.
So since I go to Barnes & Nobles and research every fucking day, I make a certain type of music where it's very chill. Like, it doesn't really change much. It's, like, it's very relaxing. Mm-hmm. It's because, and I have, like, a lot of, like crowds in my music now. And it's because I've been going to Barnes & Nobles every fucking day and researching. So it reflects what I do.
Smoking on wood, wood, heavy rotation. I'm full of frustration. I think I'm coming down. Yeah. I'm smoking on wood, wood, heavy rotation. I'm full of frustration.
And to that point, too, I think everybody has a different path. So, like, if that's your path, that's cool, as long as we can feel it in the music.
Type shit.
If that's Roddy's path, that's fine. I personally just didn't feel it in the music. I understood the concept. I got what you were trying to say. But as far as putting it in the work, that's not what I felt. And at the end of the day, your work should speak for itself. Like, JoJo shouldn't have to tell you he goes to Barnes & Noble every day. Because when you listen to his music, you could tell, this nigga studies.
Type shit.
No matter how he gets to that study or how he studies, that's what
There's
he does.
Be a direct reflection.
And you can hear it and you can feel it. It's a reflection in your work. Excuse me.
Oh, you got it. Okay, bro, honey. She can't. She said, "I can't hear the drop game on you niggas. I'm college educated, baby."
She always does. I remember in college when she used to do my hair. She used to spit game to me, and I love that shit. Fire.
What she got us?
We all spit game.
Type shit. We scholars over here at New Renaissance. Type shit.
We scholars over here. Shout out to UT for degreeing us.
Read up. You feel?
I'm God.
Fuck y'all for everything else though.
Oh God.
The views of our fellow members are not reflected by the entire podcast.
We're trying to get sponsored, goddamn.
Right.
We're trying to get sponsored.
I'm down with y'all, UT. I'm down with y'all. I just want y'all to be down with me.